So we got to the top of the new mission there. The mission tells us that it's another machlokas by Beis Shammai with respect to crushing and grinding different spices and salt. So Beis Shammai omrim tavlin nidochen b'madoch shel eitz. Beis Shammai says when it comes to crushing and grinding spices, you have to use a madoch shel eitz, which is a type of a grinder, but it's a shina because normally they would use a rock, a stone type of grinder, but this is a type of shinoi. They would use wood. Wood's not as strong. Ube melech, when it comes to salt, bepach, you have to use a small little container. You can't use a big container. Ube eitz, hapara, and a wooden type of crusher. These are different types of shinuim that are necessary for grinding tavlin versus grinding salt. Comes along Beis Hill, omrim, tavlin, nidochen, kedarkan, bimadoch, shel evin. Beis Hill says when it comes to grinding tavlin, you don't have to do any shinuim. You could use an irregular stone type of grinder. Melech, when it comes to salt, mebadoch shel eitz, you could use a wooden type of grinder. So Beis Shammai requires a more a stronger shinoi for salt. You have to use it in a small pach, a little like a pitcher of some sort, a little. But Beis Hill says you could use a real sized grinder, but it has to be made from wood and not from stone. So either way, this is the machlokas again. Beis Shammai argue about tavlin, whether you need a shinoi or not. And when it comes to melech, you do need a shinoi. The question is whether you need a shinoi gadol. Beis Shammai says yes, and Beis Hill says it's sufficient to have a small shinoi. So Gemara points out the chuliyama. Everyone is in agreement. Mias melach ba'i shinoi. That salt certainly requires shinoi when grinding salt on yantif. Why is that the case? My time. So Rav Huna, Rav Chista, Chad Amar kol hakaderos kulan tzuichos melach, vein kol hakaderos tzuichos tavim. Because all types of foods that you make, they all require salt. Salt is always necessary, but not every type of food requires spices. It depends. You may have to taste it. So you should have known from yesterday that you need salt. So what are you salting? What are you making salt today? There should have been plenty of salt yesterday, because you know every kedai requires salt. As opposed to tavlin, when it comes to spices, you don't always know. So it's possible that you only realize this on yomtif, that you need spices, so that's why tavlin doesn't necessarily require a grinding, doesn't require shinui. So chadamar, the other one holds, kol tavlin mafigin taman melach eina mafiga taman. Other spices, if you crush them yesterday, it's going to lose its potency. It won't be as strong. So you want them fresh. You're allowed to grind them today. But when it comes to salt, the salt does not lose its ability. Does not lose its potency. If you ground it yesterday, it will still be the same. So therefore, you should have ground all the salt necessary already yesterday. So is it because, machlokas, is it because every kedera requires salt, but not every kedera requires tavlin, or because it's mafig time? It loses its flavor. So Gemara says, "My benai, what's a nafkamina between these two different reasons? Ika benai, there are two nafkaminas. The yoda, my keder bar. If you knew what the keder needed, I know that this soup requires pepper. So can you grind it today on yontif? The question, the answer is, if you hold like the man damar that is all about being aware, well, you are aware, so there's no head there to grind on yontif. You should have ground it every yontif because you were aware. But if the tam is because it's losing its taste, so then you have a head there to grind the pepper on yontif because otherwise it will lose its potency. The second afkamina is inami bimarika, which is a type of spice Rashi explains here that it doesn't lose its tam. It's not salt, but it's another spice, whatever the spice is. I don't know if there's an English translation for what karkum is. It's Rashi's karkum. Whatever that is, it doesn't lose its flavor. So according to that man, damar, that, what does it say?
Saffron.
Saffron. Saffron. Okay, saffron. So saffron is, doesn't lose its flavor. So therefore, if it's about losing its flavor, well, this doesn't lose its flavor, so you should have ground it yesterday. But if it was about being aware of what you needed or you didn't need it, well, maybe you didn't know that you needed saffron for this kedera, and therefore you'd be allowed to grind it or yontif itself. So that's the machlokas. So Gemara now says, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Koha nidochen, nidochen kedarken, v'afilu melech. Comes along Shmuel, and Shmuel says you're allowed to grind all types of spices, even salt. You could do kedarkin, you could do it regularly. So Gemara says, v'ha amris melech ba'i shinoi, who? So how could Shmuel argue on the Mishnah? Our Mishnah said both Beis Hill and Beis Shammai agreed that you have to have a shinoi when coming to grinding salt. They just debated how much of a shinoi you needed. So how could Shmuel argue on the Mishnah? So Gemara says, "Hu adamar kiay tana." He holds like another Tana who actually says you are allowed to grind salt in a kedarkin. Titani, the Brisa says, "Amar Rebbe Meir." Meir says, "Lo nechlaku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al hanidochin shenidochin kedarkin umelach imahim." That they don't argue; they both agree. You're allowed to grind different spices and the salt along with that in a der in the kedarkin. That's all allowed. They only argue whether or not that when you grind the salt independent from other spices, whether that requires a shinoi or not. Shebeshamay omrim melach bepachu be'eta parer, that when it comes to grinding salt, you have to do some type of shinoi in a small pach. We're using a wooden crusher. Litzli, when it comes to roasting things, avalola kadeira, when it comes to kadeira, you're not allowed to do anything at all. That's what the understanding of Beis Shama is. And when it comes to Beis Hill, omrim, bechol davar, you can use anything you want. Bechol davar sakadach, anything you want. So Rashi points out, even a davar muksa, I can use a davar muksa to crush melech, that's not allowed. Ela lichol davar. What he means is, you could grind salt for any purpose, bein litzli, whether it's for roasting something, bein lekadeira, whether it's for cooking something. So that's what comes out from this. Either way, we see from this din here, that according to Beis Hillel, Rameir's understanding is, Beis Hillel says you could grind salt in a regular way. So then the Gemara says, Amr le'ra'ach Rav'ach Bardila, le'brei, Rav'ach Bardila said to his son, ki daichas, when you were going to grind, when it comes to grinding salt, Atzli atzluye v'doch. Put it on its side. Rashi says, "Hiti hamaducha al tzeda." Put the grinder on its side. Disaver kishmuel damer nidochas kedarka b'madoch shel even. He agrees like Shmuel. You could use an actual stone grinder crusher. Mishinoi zuta b'alishinoi. He does require a slight change. So even though Shmuel does sound like kedarkin entirely, so it comes along Rava. Who's this Rav Acha? But Barla says, you need a slight change. They use a stone grinder, but turn it slightly on its side, and that's a sufficient type of shinui. The Rav Sheshes, Shama Kol Buchna. One time Rav Sheshes heard the sound of a grinder, and they heard it grinding salt. So Amr, he says, Hai lav mi gavai de besahu. This is not from inside my house, I hope. So the Gemara says, V'dilma atzli atzli. Maybe it was on the side. Maybe, you know, according to Racha, you're allowed to use it, the stone grinder on its side. So maybe that's the sound you hear crushing of salt in your house, but they're using a stone grinder, but it's moved to the side. So it's a proper shinui. So he says, no, the shama the havi tzalak kali. He heard that the sound was so pure, so it must have been the regular crushing that was taking place. Had it been on the side, he would have heard something different, a little bit muffled noise of the grinder or something. So then the Gemara says, Vidoma tavlin havi. So maybe he was crushing tavlin, spices, which was permitted the chachila according to Beis Hillel. Maybe it wasn't salt. Why was he so concerned with the salt that they're doing in the regular way in his house? So he says, tavlin nevuche madvich kalayo. The sound is much louder. The different sound when you crush pepper and spices versus when you're crushing salt. So he certainly heard someone crushing salt in the regular way in a maduch shel evin. And he just said, I hope this is not taking place in my particular house. So either way, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins here that you're allowed to, rather around Paskins, you're allowed to crush salt on Yontif. He says, if you didn't do this Erev Yontif. Now, the way the Ran says here, is it the crushing of salt, is that considered Ochal Nefesh, or is that considered Machshirei Ochal Nefesh? So he said that's part of the debate here. It seems in the two different directions here. And initially, the Gemara thought maybe if you require shinoi, it's only machshir. It's machshir. But if you don't require shinoi, his mom is considered ochel nefesh. Because when it comes to ochel nefesh, you don't need to do any shinoi. When it comes to machshirin, it's only that which enhances food, that requires a shinoi. But when you look at the Rambam writes, when it comes to crushing salt, he calls it machshirei ochel nefesh. And yet he doesn't require any type of shinoi. So that's a strange thing. If it's heter ochel nefesh, if it's mamish food, you're making meat, so you don't need any shinoi. But if it's only a machshir, and that requires a shinoi. So how could the Rambam say it doesn't require any shinoi if it's only machshir? And this is the question the Lecha Mishnah asks in the Rambam. And he quotes from a rabbi. The rabbi says, when it comes to cutting wood on Yontif, you don't require any shinoi. But why? Wood is certainly machshir. It's not the actual food. It's only machshir the food. Why don't you require a shinoi? So Ravid says, because since the wood is essential to cooking, it's machshir, and that's considered ke'ochel nefesh itself. It's considered an extension of the food itself because it's necessary. So along the same lines, Lecha Mishnah says, so too salt and spices, although it's machshirin, conceptually view this as ochel nefesh proper because it's necessary to have the salt and the spices, and for that reason you don't require any shinui when it comes to crushing them on yantar. Gemara now says, last eight lines or so of the Amud, Tani Rabban. Ain osin tisni, the ain kochin b'machteshes. What's tisni? So Rashi explains here, tisni is two wide lines down in Rashi. Ain osin tisni b'yomtif, shetarech gadol, it's a big tircha. What is it? Shekotesh hachitin ad shenechlekin echad l'arba. When you crush the wheat, where it breaks up into four different pieces, that's a big tircha. To crush it so many times, that you can't do on yomtif. So Gemara says, again, ain osin tisni, the ain kochin b'machteshes. Ain kochin b'machteshes means you can't crush it something. Tarti. It's a stira. Two things, two opposite things. What's the opposite thing? So Rashi explains here, Tarti, Shnei Dvarim. There are two items that are contradictory. Yesh kan lo ze dom leze. Ketani ein osin tisni. You can't make tisni a four-piece chita. Hachelka v'daisa shabri. I mean, but to make it split into two or three, that would be allowed. The ein tircha merubah, that's not as much as making it four times. But hadar tani ein kochin klal. But then it says, don't do any type of crushing of wheat. So can you do it, or can you not do the crushing? And so the Gemara explains, hachi kamar. Ma tam ein osin tisni. Why can you not make a tisni, this type of four sliced chita? Lufi she ein kochin machteshes, because you're not allowed to use machteshes on yontif. So Gemara says, "V'leima ain't kosher machtesh." Simply say, "Don't crush in a machtesh." Why say a tisni? Once you know you can't use a machtesh, certainly you can't make tisni. See, Tani ain't kosher machteshes. Had the Brisa simply said, "Don't use this machtesh on yontif," Hava Amina would have thought, "Honey, me machtesh gadola, a larger type of crusher, that would be usher." Avam machtesh ketana, a smaller one, maybe aim a shaper dummy, maybe to be allowed to do this. Kamash Milan, that you can't make toast and klal, you cannot use it, a kochin at all, whether it's big, whether it's small. So by saying, ain't osin tisni, that underscores the din, that you can't use any machteshes at all. So the Gemara then says, v'hatanya, but doesn't the Braisa clearly state, ain't kochin b'machteshes gdola, about kochin b'machteshes katana? Braisa says, you are allowed to use a smaller type of machteshes, a smaller type of crusher. So Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Kitani Nami Masisa Machtesh Gedola. When our Brisa said that you can't ain coach Machtesh, it meant you can't use a bigger one, but a smaller one, Einach Nami, is allowed. And even when using a smaller one, don't make tisni, don't break a chita, piece of chita up into four different pieces. So Gemara says, Ravan, going up in base now, a different explanation. Ravan says, no, it's no stira. It's not that Brisa says you can use Machtesh Gedola. Rather, the Brisa doesn't say you can't use Machtesh Gedola, but you may use machteshes katana. There actually is a steer in the brises, but the brises are referring to two different locations. One location, you can't even use machteshes katana, and another brises says you can use a machteshes katana. What's the difference? So Rav Amar, lokashe halon b'halu. One is for us here in Bavel, and one is for them in Eretz Yisrael. What's the difference? Rashi explains here, Rav Amar, top line of Yudal and Beis here, Rav Amar Li'ola Matam Kama, really it's explaining why the katana nami kai, you can't even use a smaller katana. Why? In coaching klal, that's why you can't make any type of tisni, because you can't use any type of machtesh, ben gedol ben katana. But holon, the lesson of de mezalze, we don't have avadim. Here in Bava, there's no avadim, there's no servants working, so there's no concern of any zilzal yantav taking place. Halahu in Eretz Yisrael, the isle of de mezalze, there are many avadim in Eretz Yisrael, they're wealthier there, I guess, so therefore there's concern of being mezalze yantav. V'osim begadol of omim katana asinu. So what would happen in Eretz Yisrael? So we would tell the servants in the kitchen, don't use machtesh gedola, don't use it. So they're going to end up using machtesh gedola. We're going to ask the Baal Basa, I'm going to say, what do you do? He said, no, we use a machteshes katana, not to worry. But we didn't really trust them. So therefore, they asked in Eretz Yisrael, don't use machteshes gedola or machteshes katana. In Bavel, where there are no avadim, there's no concern in any zilzil, so we said, no machteshes gedola, but you can use machteshes katana. No one's going to play any tricks around there. So when the Brai says machteshes katana is allowed, that's in Bavel. When the Brai says that machteshes katana is not allowed, that's referring to Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara then says, top line of Yudal Rebbe's here, last word, Rav Papa Ikle the Beit Marshmul. One time, Rav Papa was visiting the house of Marshmul. It was Yantif. Aishle Daisa Velo Achol. They brought him some Daisa, some chopped, I don't know, piece of oats maybe, and he refused to eat it. So they asked, Vidoma Machteshes Katana Avdua. So maybe he uses Machteshes Katana. So that's it should be allowed. The Chazid Havi Daik Tve. He saw it was very, very finely ground, which means they used the Machteshes Gedola. Vidoma Me'esmol Avdua. Maybe it was from yesterday, and it's still finely ground from yesterday. The chazid have a kalaf tsari. You saw the coloring of it. You could tell the difference between freshly ground oats versus not freshly ground. He was able to see how it was from yesterday. It was old. So Ibai's aim, alternatively, shiny bay Mar Shmuel, maybe Bar Shmuel, although he lived in Bavel, was different because he apparently had a Ika Pritusa Davde. He had a Vadim in his house. He was wealthier, I guess, and it's a number of servants. And therefore, in his house, even though in Bavel in general, Machteshes Katana would be allowed. If you have a house of a Vadim, Machteshes Katana would not be allowed. So these are two different explanations why he didn't eat. Either because he clearly saw Machteshes Gedola was used, or because there was a place of a Vadim whereby even a Machteshes Katana would be us. New Mishnah tells us now, Haborer Kidneyos
b'yamtif. If you want to separate kinyos and yamtif, b'shamay omrim borer ochel v'ochel. Normally, the way a borer works is that during the week, you take the psalos away from the ochel. You take the bad out, and you have the good. So b'shamay says here, you have to do the opposite. You have to do a shino like we do on Shabbos. You could take the ochel mitoch psalos, that would be allowed, and then eat it. And that's a shino. Now, on Shabbos, that's allowed because it's a shinoi. The normal way during the week is to take the psalos away. The reason why on Shabbos and Yom Tov you could do it because it's a shinoi by taking the ochel, that's a shinoi that's necessary according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Omrim, borer kedarko, you could take it out regularly, which means remove the psalos because there's no problem of borer on Yom Tov. That's what he understands. And becheiko, bekana betamcho, you could even use a different type of sifter, which are small measures of sifting. They don't produce a large amount of sifting. These are much larger sifters, which are used for like mass production. That's not allowed on Yom Tov because that's preparing for after Yom Tov. But either way, you could do borer kedarko according to Beis Hillel. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, af mediach v'shol, you could even wash the food and let the psalos float to the top. Rashi explains here, v'shola, b'farsh b'gemar shola, ha psalos shetzaf l'mal, that floats to the top, and that would be another mechanism of separating borer, regular borer kedarko, on Yom Tov. So Gemara says, Tanya Amar Rebbe Gamliel, b'med d'var mamur. When is this all true? That Beis Hillel allows you to remove the psalos and throw it out, which is the regular way of borer. It's only true b'med d'var mamurim, kisha ochel meruba al ha-psolos. When there's more food than the psalos, that's when you can remove the psalos. Of ha-psolos, meruba al ha-ochel. But if there's more psalos than ochel, divri ha-kol, note as ochel. There, you should take the food, which is the less amount, u'meniach es ha-psolos, and take away, and leave the psalos behind. So the Gemara then says, psalos meruba al ha-ochel, mikaman d'shari. If there's more psalos than ochel, who would allow you to use this? What's wrong with, what do you mean, why not? So Rashi explains here, mikaman d'shari, v'afilu talto, you can't even move it, it's muksa. V'ha batlele mi'uta legabe ruba, if most of it's psalos, and a mi'ut is considered ochel, havle kikulu psalos v'lo chazi, you shouldn't be able to take anything of most of it's psalos. So how could you even talk about a scenario of taking the ochel from the psalos in a case where there's more psalos, if the psalos is rove, and that's going to create a din of muksa. So Gemara says, lo, tzricha denafish b'tircha v'zuter b'shira. In terms of volume, there's less muksa. The rove is ochel, so it's not muksa. But in terms of the tircha, I don't know, let's say you got small poppy seeds. Let's say poppy seeds is psalos. To remove each poppy seed, which is tiny, that's an incredible amount of tircha. So when the more tircha is to remove psalos, so then we say take the ochel because there's less tircha. But in terms of actual volume, there's more ochel than psalos because otherwise it would be a problem of muksa. That's the din. Fine. So now the Rav Akiva Eger asks the similar lines. He says, wait a second here. So let's say you don't want the poppy seeds in our case. You're removing the poppy seeds or whatever the psalos is. Isn't that muksa? I'm taking the psalos away. Whenever I remove psalos, is that not considered a violation of moving muksa? How is that allowed? He says, don't tell me the situation whereby the psalos is roi lachilis behema. That's not really muksa. He says, that's very dochek lomar. So he says here, it must be that you're allowed to move something muksa in order to eat it. Another heter ochel nefesh is not only malacha of shechita and bishul and whatnot, but even violating muksa would be allowed if it comes to you could violate muksa for a tarich ochel nefesh. That's Rabbi Kivyegir, that's how he explains this. Now, okay, fine. So now the other thing is the Rosh Hashanah, I don't understand why he gives his answer. Rosh Hashanah is a mefurish tozen Shabbos, it says, no. When you have a mixture here, where we're already establishing the Gemara here, that most of it, rov is ochel, and to me, it's muksa. Because we said if rove is muksa, then it's muksa. You can't move it. So we already established where the rove is ochel, and the mi'ut is muksa. So how are you allowed to move the muksa? Rashash says, the Tosfos clearly writes that when you have this mixture, the ochel is mevatel the psolus, and the psolus does not have a din of muksa. Now, even though I extracted the psolus, but once I extracted it, but derech het, because it's in a mixture, and the ochel overwhelms the muksa, once I take it out, I can move it to wherever I want, and it's not even a shayla at all, he says. It's not because ochel nefesh is docha, the violation of muksa, it's because not even muksa. Muksa is batel in the rove of ochel. That's the Rosh Hashanah's understanding based on Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos. Back inside the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Rebbe Gamliel Omer af mediach v'shola, you could put the food in the water and let the psalos float to the top. That's allowed as well. That's another type of borer. So Tani, the Brisa says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Kachaya Minhagan Shabbos Rabbi Gamliel. This was the practice in his home. Shayu Mivin Dili Mali Adashim. They brought a pitcher or pail of lentils. Umatzifin Alamayim. They pour water over it. Vinimsa Ochelamata Upsos Lamala. And the food would go to the bottom and the Upsos would float to the top. V'hatani ifcha. But doesn't our Braisa say the opposite? That actually the food would go to the top and the psalms would go to the bottom? I'm going to say, lokasha, ha-be'afra, ha-be'gila. It depends. It's different levels of distribution or whatever. I forget the term. Either way, some things float to the top, other things float to the bottom or drop to the bottom. So it depends on what it is. So when it comes to afar, afar is heavier than the water, that's going to drop to the bottom. When it comes to certain outside, the kasha, she says, the outside of the food, that's going to float to the top. So there's no steer. It depends on the mitzvahs. That's all. So the Mishnah then says halfway down the Amud here, Beishami Omrim Ein Mishalchin Biyomtif Elamanos. You're only allowed to send gifts to a person on Yomtif, which means Rashi says Elamanos Davar Hamucha, that which was prepared before Yomtif, Veino Asir Lahanich Lamachar. Because if you send something that's not fully prepared and you send it on Yomtif, he might want to use it the day afterwards, and it's not going to be the Tzarach Yomtif. It must be something that's prepared, ready to be eaten. Rashi's examples are Chatichas Basar, Chatuchas Levnei Orchan, V'chein Dagim, slices of meat, slices of fish, that which is ready to be eaten today. So, but Manos comes along by Silo. You're allowed to send the animals, whether they're alive or dead, because he could check that he wanted. That's also ochel nefesh. That would be considered a tzorach, and that would be allowed. But he says, yain u'shmanim saltas v'kitniot, you could send wine, you could send oil, you could send flour, you could send beans. Avalo t'vua, but t'vua is not allowed. Rashi explained, because they're not fit for today. Avalo t'vua, sheinen ru'uyim hayom, sheinen tochen bayom tam. No, you're not allowed to grind grain on yomtif. Shehayalo l'tchon me'esmo, avalo tafik tamo. You should have done this yesterday. So only that which has the halachic permissibility to eat today can you send. Now, he might not want to shech the cow today, but he can in theory. So only that which you could, in theory, benefit from today, you could send to your friend. But that which cannot be benefited from today at all, that would be us to send the gift on yantiv, such as tvu. Comes on Rabbi Shimon, Matir, but tvu, he says even tvu is allowed because it's possible, says Rashi, you could cook the grains in a kadera and you could crush it in a machteshish katana and it would be actually edible even on yantiv. So he says there is such a heter. So Gemara then says, Tani Rav Chiyichio, Ubilvad shall yasenu b'shura. When you send the gift, you can't send a line. Rashi says shall yishenu yasenu b'shura lo yishlach hadorin ayde anashim harbe. Don't make a whole whole procession here of sending a bunch of people to send the gift to your neighbor. The av shemilsa makes a whole. It's very noisy. It sounds like you're sending something in the shuk to sell something. So when you send the gift, send one gift and a friend. Don't make a whole entourage of people sending a gift. It looks like it's some mekach or memkar taking place here. So then the Gemara says, Tana, ein shura, p'chusa mishlosha. B'nei Adam, what's a shura? Shura means three people. Less than three people, that's not a shura. So to send the gift with one kid, or you want to send two kids around the block to send the gift to your neighbor, that's allowed. But once you have three people go, that's already too much of a commotion. That would not be allowed. So Bar Ravashi, Ravashi asks the following shayla, t'lasa gavre v't'lasa minei mai. Let's say you want to send three different gifts with three different people. Would that be allowed? Because our case right now is one gift and three people isn't allowed. But let's say three gifts. One guy, you give one child a chicken and one guy a wine, one guy a meat, send it to the friends. Is that considered av shemilsa or no? Because each one has a different gift. That's not called av shemilsa. And the Gemara ends off as a teiku. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon matir betfua. Rabbi Shimon said, you're allowed to send grains even on yantif. So Tanya, Rabbi Shimon matir betfua, could go on chitin lasos man ludius, that you want to make the chitin, ludius, I don't know what ludius is, some type of edible food. To Michael chitim, says Rashi. So you're allowed to send barley, litain lefnei behemta, because you feed to his animal. Dashim, you could send lentils, lasos man resisin, to make some type of, porridge oatmeal would be allowed as well. So new Mishnah tells us, in the bottom of Yudal and Beis Mashalchin, you're allowed to send kalim bein tfurn bein shenan tfurn. You could send kalim cloths, whether they're sewed together, even if not sewed together, that would be allowed. V'yafa pi sheyesh b'em kalayim, even though this kalayim, you're still allowed to. We'll see why that is. V'hein letzarach moed, only if they had a certain need for the moed, as the Gemara will explain. A sandal hamasumar, which is a type of wooden shoe that have nails on it, like cleats of some sort, that's not allowed. Rashi refers to Gemara and Shabbos daf samach. If you remember, there's a certain gzeira, a whole maisa that happened on Shabbos on Yantif, that maisa that someone had killed. They stepped on the direction to people. They stepped on someone, and the people getting killed and trampled on. So either way, based on that maisa, they said you can't send the sandal masumar on Shabbos Yantif. It's considered muksa of some sort. For lo ben minna al sheino tafor, you can't send a shoe that wasn't sewed because that has no purpose. If a shoe wasn't sewed, it's just leather, but wasn't sewed, it has no function. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer aflo minna lavan, you can't even send a white shoe. Mipnei shetzach uman, you need a special shoemaker to blacken it. No one wore white shoes, so that wasn't fit to be worn in Yontif. So anything that's not fit for Yontif cannot be sent, but that which is tzarach mord can be sent. Zaklal, this is the rule. Kol Sheni Oseyin Bobo Yomtiv, that which you can benefit on this Yomtiv, Mishalchen Oseh, you could send, and that which you cannot benefit, you may not send. So Gemara explains at the beginning of the Mishnah, the Reisha here, Bishma, I understand Tfurim Mechazel Malbush, I understand you could send a sewn piece of cloth, it means it was tailored, you could wear it, that's a certain Tzach Marit. And I also understand Shein Tfurin Nami Chazel Mechazel. Even if it wasn't sewn together, just a piece of cloth, but wasn't sewn into any shape, into a shirt or pants, that's also fit, because you could cover something up. That makes sense. I get that. And the klayim, lamai chazer, but the Mishnah says you could even say klayim? What's the purpose of klayim? What's the benefit of klayim? You can't benefit from that in general. So v'chi tame, if you're going to tell me chazer l'meima chatusah, you could place it underneath and sit on top of it. V'atani, the Braisa says, lo yala lecha, you're not allowed to wear klayim, about hayachal atziyot tachtecha, but you can sit on top of klayim. But nonetheless, the Braisa says, about amru chachamim asher lasos kein, it's a derbanan to sit on klayim, shema tichach le'nima al-besar, because maybe a thread is going to go on your skin, and you're going to get hana from the klayim, so it's asher, it's a derbanan. So there's nothing, what's a klayim fit for? Why would you send klayim on chalamari? The chitim, if you're going to tell me the mafsig me the bein aveni, no, you can put layers. You put the klayim on the bottom. You put layers of pillows on top of it. This way, I'm so far from the bottom cloth of the klayim, it's not going to come in my skin. So maybe that would be allowed. V'ham Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, I'm Rabbi Yosef Yeshana, Basha ben Shaul, I'm Rabbi Bishim Kala Kadisha the Bishayim, in the name of the holy gathering, the kila of Yushalayim. Afilu esem atzal zuagavzu v'klayim tachtayim aser lishon olayim. It's also even if you have piles of mattresses and the klayim are 10 mattresses below where you are, it's still aser. They create a gzera. Do never should you be on top of klayim. So again, back to square one. Why would anyone send klayim on mechal moed? What is the tzarech moed? Ela bevilon. It's talking about vilon, which is a curtain. You don't get hana from vilon. So if you're going to send a klayim curtain, I can use it to cover my windows as shades. That's allowed. So Gemara says, "V'hamar ula mipnei ma'amru vilon tamei." So why they say vilon is tamei? Why is vilon? What's the kli? Something to become tamei must be a kli. What is the purpose of a vilon that's a kli? So Gemara says, "Mipnei shashemesh mischamin kenegdo." The sun warms up against it. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says here that the last two lines here, "Mipnei ma'amru vilon tamei mekabotuma." How come a vilon, a curtain, is tamei? It's just another divider in the house. What's the tuma of the, what's the kli of a divider, of a vilum? And you might wrap yourself in it if you're cold, so you put it against the sun, it's going to gather some of the warmth, and you wrap yourself in it, that's why it's considered kli. And therefore the vilum cannot be made of kli unless the person wraps himself in it. So what's the point again in sending klayim? You can't sit on top of it. You can't even use it as a curtain because you might come to wrap yourself in it. So what's the point here? So Ella, Gemara tells us on top of Tezvav now, Ella Bekashin, referring to a clothing that's very hard, a cloth that's very hard, says Rashi, Bekashin, Begadim Kashin, She'ein Mechavim Mutter Lishavalem. If you want to, you know, wrap myself in a table, for example, there's no heat in the table, it's not going to warm me up. If it's very stiff and strict, you can't wrap yourself, you can't get warmth from it. So that type of klayim you actually can wear because it's not going to give you any warmth. These types of materials, which is very hard to felt, it seems, as Rashi explains, is permitted. Rashi says you could sit on top of it because they're not mechamin, because it doesn't produce, it doesn't generate any heat and warmth, and therefore it would be allowed. So let's quickly recap what we did today. We start off talking about the machlokas, about crushing a tavlin, whether you need a shina gadol, a shina katan, or the salt that Basil says you don't need any type of a shinoi when it comes to, I'm sorry, the other way around, that you need a small shinoi for salt, but Basil Shammai says you need a larger shinoi. The reason why you need a shinoi for salt is because either you should have known from yesterday, you always need salt, or because salt doesn't lose its flavor, and therefore you should have done it yesterday. We had enough communities of that. If you knew what type of tavlin you're going to use, that you should prepare it from yesterday, but if it's about being fresh and not losing its time, then you'd be able to even crush it today. Then we discussed about there's a daya that even Beis Hillel says that salt is allowed l'chachila kedarkan, you don't need to do any shinur. That being said, we still said you should, even if you're using a stone crusher, you should put it on the side to have just a small, subtle type of shinur. The Meiser of Sheshit, he heard someone crushing the salt in the stone. He said he hopes it's not from his house because he knew, he heard it was clear from the salt, it was not no shinur that was done.
Then we discussed about crushing Machteshet Gedola versus Machteshet Katana. We said that everybody agrees Machteshet Gedola is allowed. We're not allowed. Machteshet Katana is allowed. But then Rava says, no, it depends where you are. That in Eretz Yisrael, where they had Avadim, even Machteshet Katana is not allowed. We're concerned they might be Mezalzel. But in Bava, where there are no Avadim, Machteshet Gedola would be, Katana rather, would be permitted. We had the Maisa Rav Papa. He would not eat in my house in Mar Shmuel because either he saw that it was so far on the ground there's Machteshet Gedola, or because of the house for Rav Adim, they were concerned of even a Machteshet Katana. Then about the Borer, that based, Shammai says you have to do Borer, Ochem Etach Psalos HaShinoi. Based on Hillel, says you could even do Kedarko. And then the case of Ochem must be Meruba than the Psalos, otherwise the whole thing is Muksa. So it's only with the Ochem more than the Psalos. But if the Tircha is greater with removing the Psalos, then you'd have to do the Shinoi of removing the Ochel and not removing the Psalos, even according to base Hillel. And then the case of the Madiach Fashola, does the dirt go to the top or to the bottom? Different Matthias. And then about sending, you only send that which is Roy for Yomdif. Beis Hillel says even animal that's alive is Roy for Yomdif because you could shecht it. And Reb Shimon says even Tvu is allowed because you could cook it and eat it in such a way. And then finally, the last mission about sending Kalim if it's Roy for wearing for sitting on, or even Kalim is permitted if it's very hard. That would also have a certain Tzarech Moed. Okay, everybody have a wonderful day.